The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you think that Christians are just not open-minded enough. A real open mind wouldn't believe that this one world is the only world God ever created, that there could be life on other planets somewhere. Well, my friend, you know, I hear this all the time. Somehow people seem to think that if we discovered life on another planet, that would contradict the Bible. The Bible says nothing one way or the other about life on other planets. Granted, there are some Christians who talk as if we shouldn't expect to find life anywhere else. I don't think it's impossible. Now, I have actually met Christians who, or not just Christians, I've met people, period, who've made claims to have encountered aliens and intelligent life. Well, I love science fiction. The only experience I've had with aliens has been when I've been watching or reading science fiction, H.G. Wells and Jules Verne, Arthur C. Clarke, Isaac Asimov, the great writers. So for me, it's science fiction is my experience, but I am not closed to the idea. This came up just a little bit when my friend Jim Barrier was on. As you know, we have several rotating co-hosts, and Jim Barrier generally comes on once a month. But due to some issues that we won't spend a whole lot of time getting into, it has to do with his schedule and my schedule. He's going to be on again today, even though he was on just last week. And hold on to your seats. He's coming back next week, too. He's three co-hosts in one. It's going to be a Jim Barrier Fest, which to me is a special treat because I absolutely love having him on. It's a blast. And don't tell anybody, but he's every bit as knowledgeable as I am, if not more. Jim, welcome back to our program.
Thanks, Bob. Well, now I think we both have our strong suits. I'll go with you on that. But you are the host. I am the rotating co-host.
I met you because you were a host of a show in Texas, and I came on as a guest, and that was actually how we met. I was in town to do a debate. Well, you and your co-host, right, Gary Young, had me on as a guest. And then after that, I came on your show once in a while. Your show was on for years.
Yeah, and we've kind of traded back and forth, but you know, I've got to tell you, the intellectual base in Texas versus California, we talked about this before, you know. I think the standard may be a little higher where you live. People expect a lot more. We don't even demand correct English in this state.
Yeah, well, given the direction of Sacramento, I don't think California has a whole lot of bragging about its intellect these days.
Well, I'll just tell you this. We don't give sanctuary to nobody, pal.
And again, sanctuary is a neutral word. It sounds good, but it depends on who's giving sanctuary and why. Mm-hmm. And are people getting murdered as a result of some of the sanctuary, such as the woman in San Francisco? And it's a little more nuanced than the black and white issue people try to make it out to be.
And I've addressed some of those things on my Facebook page, and I've actually had people have the nerve to ask me what my point is. What's the connection? You know, we've already been derailed. We're talking politics.
Well, I'm going to derail you some more, only because I have to get your response. Did you hear the latest that there's a librarian who's saying Dr. Seuss was racist?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, in fact, I did. And obviously that librarian has never read the Sneetches.
That's what I went on Facebook and said that exact thing. It was a brilliant commentary on the foolishness of racism and bigotry, written far ahead of its time. We're going back, I believe, absolutely, to the 60s on that one. And here are this guy speaks. It reminds me of Huck Finn. Mark Twain wrote a book post-Civil War, but back in the days of a very racist South, not that the South doesn't still struggle with that in places, but way, way, way ahead of his time. Mark Twain is writing one of the most anti-slavery, anti-bigotry, anti-racist, brilliant diatribes and novel, and hilarious novel. And yet, because he included certain language and reflected accurately the way people talked in those days, for a while, libraries were banning Huck Finn. Isn't it something where the people that first had the guts to speak out against racism are called racist by the standards of people who they would call somebody a racist if they sneezed? And if everybody's a racist, nobody's a racist. It becomes like the boy who cried wolf. And the problem is there are still some real honest to goodness racists out there, and we're camouflaging them. This is just outrageous.
Well, now, you know, this has already been established and decreed. Only white people can be racist.
Well, because they keep making it up as they go. Only white people can be racist. And that is considered the most, Martin Luther King would have considered that the most racist statement, or at least one of the most racist statements we've heard. His niece, Alveda King, will still reflect his teachings and not the teachings that are going on. I thought, just correct me if I'm mistaken, Jim, didn't he give a little speech about how we judge people by their character and the content of their character, not the color of their skin?
Something like that. Yeah. That sounds familiar now that you mention it. Yeah, we've fallen so far from Dr. King.
Well, he
was not a perfect man. We know that. But his message and his method were so far removed from what we see going on today.
He is to be admired, and the people who claim they're following in his footsteps, the Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons, they don't even come close to being cut from his cloth.
You know, I told you I met Jesse one time.
Oh, I don't remember you telling me that.
Well, it wasn't really a meeting. I shook his hand. I was when we used to have the radio show that you were on, Resistance Radio, we also had a sports program, a call-in program, and that was a lot of fun. And what we didn't know when we signed up for it was when you do a sports show on the radio, you get media credentials to any sporting event. So we had media passes, and we went to the Final Four here in San Antonio, NCAA basketball championship. And so there's celebrities and people all around, and I shook hands with Tim Robbins, and I shook hands with Bill Russell. And I saw Jesse Jackson coming down the way. So I went up there, and I put my hand out, and I said, "Good evening, Reverend." And he looked the other way and completely shunned me.
Wow.
And I...
Do you have any idea why he shunned you? Did he know you were a conservative?
No. I followed him around then. I followed him around the whole arena.
You're kidding.
He walked around flashing his smile. And the only time he would stop and shake hands with somebody is if it was a person of color.
You're kidding. Now, I've heard him do a lot of race baiting, but I wouldn't imagine even he would have stooped that low. But
he stooped.
Well, I believe you. I know you wouldn't make that up.
So I cut him off. I went back around, and the next time he came through, I stepped right in front of him, and I said, I'm thinking to myself, by golly, you're going to shake my hand, mister.
Did he find? So he finally did?
And he finally did it reluctantly, but I thought, what rainbow?
That's right.
So anyway, that's my Jesse Jackson story. And then back to the good Dr. Theo Geisel, Dr. Seuss, from San Diego.
Not only is he from San Diego, but if you go out to La Jolla Cove, my wife and I have noticed this, you look at the strange shaped trees at La Jolla Cove.
Mm-hmm.
They remind me an awful lot of the trees I see in Dr. Seuss books. And I'm thinking, I used to think he had all these creative trees. And well, yes, he did. The guy was creative. He was a genius. But I'm seeing at least where he got the inspiration for some of them.
I think he got some inspiration there.
I always thought California was Seussville. That just proves it.
But, you know, on that story about this poor librarian who
the poor decided, librarian or the poor first lady who tried to help the librarian and got snubbed?
The poor misguided librarian who is uninformed because She obviously hasn't seen clips of Michelle Obama reading Dr. Seuss books to children.
And they have a photo of her now of a few years ago. Not only did she not have a problem with Dr. Seuss, she didn't have a problem with the Cat in the Hat, which is the one that she calls racist. They claim he's dressed like... And she was dressed as the Cat in the Hat.
Yeah,
so what did this revelation about Dr. Seuss's alleged racism come only because Melania Trump donated the books this time?
Anything that is attached to the name Trump is racist.
I said it before and I'll say it again. The Onion is going to go out of business. They cannot make up satirical news faster than the idiotic things that you read about every day in the real papers. And I say real papers with a little bit of a hesitation. Well, we did it. We did a whole segment. We didn't talk about dinosaurs. We didn't talk about aliens. We talked about a lot of stuff. We'll be right back, and we'll talk the way the good Lord meant for us to talk.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Back to 1170, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, and it's always a blast when I'm joined by my good friend and co-host from San Antonio, Texas, and pastor, Jim Barrier. I remember one time where a lady called in. She says, "You guys sure sound like you're having fun." But
yeah,
it would probably be fun for the audience as well if we sooner or later got to the topic at hand.
Okay.
And as the one who was probably the most guilty and tangential of all, let me repent by turning it over to you. Steer us in the right direction.
Okay.
But I want to say one more thing about Dr. Seuss first. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I grew up on Dr. Seuss, so and Mad Magazine.
I love Dr. Seuss. I love Mad Magazine, and we're doing it again. I'm going to resist. Steer us the right direction, Jim.
All right. What'll it be?
Well, you had told me you wanted to talk about dinosaurs or aliens. See, I'll take aliens for 12, Johnny.
That's Alex.
Alex, all those game shows were the same. See, that's a racist comment. I said all those game shows were the same.
I wasn't
acknowledging the rainbow and plethora of game shows.
All right, E.T., phone home.
And we're not, so Jim, are you trying to say that because of E.T. and TV shows in the 60s, like My Favorite Martian, that that's our evidence that aliens exist?
Oh, no. I've come much closer to them than that.
Okay.
You know a lot of what my ministry is here, and I work with really interesting beings where I'm at. I thought perhaps, a few years ago they had the 50th anniversary of the Roswell incident, And I thought, you know, I missed an opportunity there. I could have packed up a van full of a few of my folks and driven out there and set up a tent and made money, you know, these guys that have been abducted, and they could tell their story. Now, here's the deal. And I was just thinking about this when I was on vacation a week or two ago in our nation's capital. And I woke up in the middle of the night with this thing kind of ringing in my head. And I thought, there is something about the human condition where we tend to project ourselves into everything. We think if it's not us, then it's wrong or different or there's something weird. If you don't like spaghetti the way I like it, there's something wrong with you. If you don't drive the kind of car I drive, there's something wrong with you. If you wear clothes different from me, there's something wrong with you. If you speak a different language, you're the one who's a foreigner. In Texas, they think I have the accent. And I meet people sometimes, and they're so self-centered, I will often say, you know, I want to introduce you to Mr. Copernicus. And they say, who is Mr. Copernicus? And I say, he's the one who discovered that the universe doesn't revolve around you.
And, that's very good.
But we do that. It's just a tendency. I think it's part of our broken nature. And for whatever insecurities or whatever things we feel, we tend to do that. And so this is what hit me. Here's where I'm going with this. We are going to get on track, folks.
I thought you were going to go to Burger King where you can have it your way.
No. I'm so happy that they opened In-N-Out Burgers here in Texas. And I fight with all my Texas friends. They love Whataburger. I love In-N-Out. But it's because I'm right, and my way is right.
I like both of them. I actually like both of them. We don't have Whataburger in California, but when I've traveled to other places, I like Whataburger.
You see how this happens? It just happens so easy. So the point is,
we've almost killed two segments.
Almost. So I thought, why do we always say, is there life on other planets? Are they going to find life on Mars? You know, is there life on Alpha Centauri? And I thought, why do we insist that other life forms would have to have a planet, for goodness sake? Because we have one. I'm an Earthling, I'm a human, I have a planet, by golly, everybody else has to have a planet or they don't count.
Well, exactly, because these days in the field of quantum physics, they're talking about other dimensions. They've theorized at least 17 different dimensions. And when I get into formal debates with atheists, it's interesting if you talk about angels or you talk about the demonic, which would live, they are in some other dimension. They have some kind of telepathic backdoor to our mind if we're taking the Bible seriously. And that's what's interesting. They don't take that seriously. It sounds like nonsense. And yet these same people will often say Christians are so closed-minded. They're so narrow. They can't imagine life on other planets. And I'm saying, we actually believe that there are intelligent entities that aren't human beings. But you've kind of got it in your mind that when we say Satan, we're talking about hot stuff comic books with red horns and a pitchfork, which is not the way he's ever been described in the Bible. And so they get this mythological image, and it never occurs to them that maybe people skewed it into a mythology. But if you go back and look at what the Bible actually says about it, none of that mythology is there. They're just saying, there are other intelligent beings other than human beings.
Clearly.
Well, we at least got on.
My notes, Bob.
Well, we got on the subject at least. Okay. We'll go back to your notes when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated, License number 480539, WNS Electric.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
By the way, when you listen to some of these advertisements about my books, like the one that you just heard, which answers the questions of a skeptic, I am more interested in you getting your questions answered than I am in making money. And yes, you can go to Amazon.com, but I've been doing this for years. If you would like to contact me by email or phone and make a case, if you are in a situation where you just really can't afford to buy a book, but that sounds like something that you would like to read because you've had those kinds of questions. How can a loving God send people to hell? Or many different questions. That book, I'd like to believe in Jesus, but ... I would be happy to talk with you, and I've given many of them away for free. So I know you're hearing what's technically an advertisement, but honestly, I'm not interested in your money. I am interested in you getting your questions answered. That's the theme of this show. For example, one of the questions my friend Jim Barry is bringing up is, would the discovery of life on other planets have any implications regarding the Bible? Jim, go ahead and continue.
And I'm just going to do another plug. I have read the book, and I have given away copies of your book. And for all of you Texas listeners,
well, Jim, I didn't say you could give them away. I said I could give them away. No, where's my cut from the ones you're giving away?
I pay for them and give them away, Bob.
Oh, all right.
That's a good book.
No, thank you. Well, yeah, you're a very generous person. Your whole church is based in the inner city and reaching out to the poor.
All we do is give away. I tell everybody, just give everything away. That's what we're doing here. Just give it away.
Jim doesn't toot his own Howard much, but you will not find a more generous man.
We're big Red Hot Chili Pepper fans. Give it away, give it away, give it away. There's only a few of your listeners that even got that reference.
There you go. So, and they both live in Texas, and they're listening by the internet right now.
Well, they could. They could be doing that. you asked an interesting question. If they discovered life, and defining that is, if they found an amoeba somewhere, would that disprove the Bible? I don't think so. But what if there was some interaction, which I don't believe there will be, but what if they find out that there's life outside of this planet, intelligent life, sentient beings? How does that affect our belief as Christians?
You know, go ahead, finish.
I'm influenced by a number of writers, as you are, and both of us share a love of this writer, Clive Staples, C.S. Lewis.
Yes, just a brilliant writer. You're probably referring to his space trilogy.
Yes,
and he's better known for the Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah, but I love the space trilogies, maybe better. Out of the Silent Planet, Prairielander, and The Hideous Strength, which is really, really hard to get through, the third book, but for just different reasons, but... You know, he supposes in these novels, fiction, that there's life on other planets. And one of the things that it stimulated me to think was, why would we assume that if there was other life, that they would be fallen like human beings are on this planet. We failed miserably from the first two people on the planet, and it's been a problem ever since.
I agree with you. A lot of times people will ask me, well, if we ever discovered life on other planets, I mean, beyond the amoeba, like you said, intelligent life, how would that relate to God? I said, well, there's only one God. They would have the same God. Well, would they have to accept Jesus Christ? And the answer is, you so well put it, that would all depend on whether they ever fell into sin. If the people on that planet never turned away from God, they would still have their relationship with Jesus because Jesus is part of the Trinity, but they would just never have had to return to him.
And if that were the case, and if there were these beings, life forms, that were not fallen, they would be in complete cooperation and submission to the authority of the creator of the universe, and they would therefore not meddle. I see it something like the Prime Directive in Star Trek.
So these beings that never fell, they're following Gene Roddenberry around somewhere with the Prime Directive?
No, you know, he kept getting close, but he was just a little too
he did do a good job of talking about the fallibility of human beings. They never used the word sin, but they would call it our negative side, our primitive side, our darker side.
Yeah.
But that was a show, at least the early one, where they were very good about our nature. And then the other ones talked about how we were morally evolving constantly. And
I see zero evidence that
human beings, at least on the planet we live in, are morally evolving. The worst atrocities ever committed in our history have been done in the middle of the 20th century, the Holocaust, and some of them are going on now with ISIS and the beheadings. We haven't our technology has evolved, but our nature is barbaric as ever.
That's one of my main questions when I talk with atheists. I get them in this corner and say, well, we're evolving. We're the top of the chain, right? We're getting better and better. How come we're not better morally? And it's funny to watch them squirm when I ask that question.
Well, on the subject of atheists and evolution, that's the other thing. It's so interesting that people act like discovering life on other planets would somehow disprove God, when in fact some of these same people, if they're talking about evolution... Now, there are theistic evolutionists. There are people who think that it would be quite miraculous for things to evolve from a lower order to a higher order without somebody guiding the process. So when somebody tells me they're into evolution, I say, do you believe in a God who started the evolutionary process, or do you say randomness and chance? Well, if they say randomness and chance, then they're saying it was just this fluke in the universe that there's any life at all. But then they start talking about, but then maybe there's life on all these other planets. So what that, how many times did that randomness and chance happen? The other thing that I find very interesting is we talked about, well, what if there were people that never fell into sin? The way it gets put to me oftentimes is, what if a spaceship landed from another planet and these aliens came out and we asked them if they believed in God and they say, no, there's no God. People act like that would end the discussion. Well, that's it. So we've always been staring up at the cosmos. Somebody came from the cosmos. They said there's no God. I'm going, excuse me. We have sent up astronauts ourselves. Now, maybe they didn't go to another planet, but not every astronaut that we've sent up believed in God. And so if we can have astronauts on Earth that are atheists, I run into atheists all the time that tell me conclusively God doesn't exist. If somebody came from another planet and they were humanoid or had some kind of intelligence or sentience, like you said, and they said that they didn't believe in God, you know what that would mean? It would just mean that, like on Earth, there's other places where they don't believe in God. Not believing in God doesn't suddenly make God cease to exist, but a commercial break will make this segment cease to exist. This is Bob Siegel. As a Christian apologist, I hear scorning and ridicule all the time from Bible skeptics and unbelievers. Some churches will still respond to such people with love and understanding. Others do not.
You Christians are such morons. There's no proof that God exists, and only a pea brain would believe in miracles. Wake up! Step into the 21st century. Besides, Christianity is responsible for most of the world's problems.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Relax, my friends. That's not the kind of response you'll get from Skyline Church. We welcome you just as you are, with all your doubts, all your questions, and all your concerns. Your problems with religion are understandable, and I promise at Skyline you'll experience the love of Jesus Christ, not the revenge of a Sith Lord.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Co-host Jim Barrier. Is there life on other planets? Well, the most important answer is we don't know. Probably nobody knows unless they go to another planet someday and discover it. But if there were human beings, how would that relate to God? Well, they may not believe in God, but we have people here that don't believe in God. That doesn't say yay or nay. On the other hand, Jim was pointing out, and rightfully so, that just because our planet fell into sin, that doesn't mean there couldn't be human beings somewhere else that didn't fall into sin. What we do know is that God has not made any creation more valuable to him than human beings. Could there be intelligent life somewhere else? Yes, and it could be human, or it could be of some other essence that has some intelligence, but there is nothing more important to God than human beings. We are the ones that are made in his image. That means spiritual image. That doesn't mean God has an eye and a nose like him. Right. We're sentient beings. We think, we feel, we create. So that much we are told, that clue we do have. Even the angels are just temporarily a little lower than us. When we resurrect and go into his kingdom, then the angels will be subservient to us. We will actually be ruling them. So the Bible does tell us, and here's one way we can answer this, is there life elsewhere? There could be, but it will either be equal to human being or not quite as important to God as human beings, and that wouldn't mean that God wouldn't care, but we are the beings that we're told are made in his image.
Well, I know this, that it is impossible for God to contradict his own nature and character. And so for him to do something unloving is not within the realm of reality. And so whatever there is out there, God loves completely and unconditionally and unselfishly. Now back to the question, what if, you know, the vehicle landed and the alien stepped out, and of course, you know, from Star Trek and all the other films, everybody speaks English.
I know, isn't that amazing? Once in a blue moon,
every planet.
Once in
every
a blue planet. Moon, they talk about the universal translator, but usually they thought that if the people talked a little bit slower or used more proper diction. Well, of course,
even
we did
Klingons
this.
Klingons know English.
Yeah, well,
and when
we
they
did
speak
this.
In Klingon, they use subtitles for our benefit. But what if the alien stepped out and someone said, "Well, is there a God?" What if he said, "Yes, there is"?
Well, then it would have
yes,
to be.
There is.
It would have to be the same God, or let me say this: do we have people on Earth that believe different religions? And there are a lot of religious too. So we could have an alien land, and he believes some other religion. And I would do the same thing that I would do with any earthly religion. How do you know it's true? What is your evidence? Christianity claims to have evidence. Christian apologists claim that we talked more about this last week, that the Bible is actually a reliable collection of documents corroborated by archaeology. We didn't get as much into the prophecy last week, but some of the fulfilled prophecies
we're
are amazing.
Do that. We're
a lot of religions come down and they just, a lot of religions don't even claim they have proof. They just talk about blind faith.
Yeah.
So again, even if somebody said, yes, there is a God, And his name is Tricera, and he lives on the planet Guno. I mean, okay, we test it just like we test any other truth claim, and the fact that they came in a spaceship doesn't mean anything, because here on Earth, somebody could fly in a plane and step out and say something dumb. Al Gore does it every day.
Oh, now.
From his private plane.
And by the way, you know, it was sacrilegious at one time to think that man could fly in a flying machine.
Exactly, with the Wright brothers. Yeah. If man was meant to fly, he would definitely. Now, I do want to point out something that's very interesting, Jim, though, as I've talked about this, because we don't realize it, but the church has already experienced a paradigm shift before. Back in the days of the apostles, Jesus told his disciples to take the gospel to the whole world. Mm-hmm. What we don't always stop to think about is that the term world is constantly expanding. The world to the disciples was the Grecian Roman Empire, and they were aware of Africa. They did not know of this place that we call, what was it originally called, the Americas, the New World. They did not understand that there was this other continent. Now, some people even thought the world was flat, although that's been exaggerated. Not as many people believe the world was flat, but they did not know of this place that we now call the Americas. And in those days, the idea of getting in your sailing ship, crossing the ocean, and finding other human beings in this new world, and you didn't think that they existed before, and you've never even heard of this people that we now call Native Americans, that to them in those days would have been as fantastic as us finding another planet in our solar system and meeting humanoid life there. And we would have the same question that they would have. Are these people that Christ died for? Yes, they are. Yeah. Should we share Christianity with them? Yes, we should. Supposing we found another planet, if not, well, in our solar system, there's no evidence of, well, maybe Mars with an atmosphere, but somewhere in the galaxy on our planet, we find a place and we find human beings there, or we just settle our own human beings there as colonies. What if the day came where we had the technology to colonize our entire solar system? Even the planets that don't have the atmosphere that's compatible, we find a way to convert that. We do a lot of environmentalist things. And one day we are inhabiting the entire solar system from having reached out, and maybe we even met some other human beings from other planets along the way. What would that say about Jesus Christ returning to the world? That solar system might be the world that Jesus returns to. And if that sounds bizarre, that we got to remember that in the minds of the apostles, we are already, when you're living in Texas and I'm living in California, we are already living in another world that the apostles never dreamed of. And yet when we think of the second coming of Christ, we think of the entire globe. The disciples did not know of that entire globe. So there could be places we don't know of. And again, I'm not saying that we're going to do jack. We may not do any of this. I'm just saying Christians are always accused of being closed-minded. There are some biblical truths that we must cling to and not compromise. But if there's a subject that the Bible has been silent on, then we need to admit that and open our mind a little bit.
Now, this is a great segue, and I want to pick on something, though, a little semantics here.
Why don't you pick on the semantics when we return?
Another
because
break.
Right now you would be picking on them at the expense of Unchained Melody. We'll be right back. Buying a home? Selling a home? It goes without saying that you need somebody experienced and skilled, but you also need a realtor you can trust, a man who will look out for your interests as if they were his own. This is Bob Siegel, here to steer you the right direction with just two words, Fred Valduti. Fred works with Realty Executives All Area, a company that has sold thousands of homes locally since 1994. Putting your home up for sale or selling a home can be stressful, filled with decisions you never anticipated. So put your mind at ease and call Fred Falduti. He sold my home for me at top price. Every step along the way, I benefited from his wisdom and a very generous usage of his time. By the way, Fred Falduti received the Executive of the Year Award for 2014. What? You say that was a couple of years ago? Listen, wise guy, do you want to mark the calendar or do you want somebody to sell your home for you? Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com.
The verdict is in on Bob Siegel's novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. Readers love it, and they say as much in their customer reviews. Reviews such as this one. Like the Chronicles of Narnia in the last century, the story is fun and mysterious, appropriate for adults as well as kids, and should become a classic. I won't even give any spoilers, but I will say that I couldn't put it down. It makes a point without being preachy. There are twists and turns and a great ending. Like the title object, the story challenges your thinking without leaving you in despair. This book would make an excellent Christmas gift for yourself or others, and it can be enjoyed at any time of the year. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
In addition to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you can find The Dangerous Christmas Ornament in some of our local bookstores in San Diego, Mysterious Galaxy Books, Skyline Bookstore and Cafe. There have been some other small bookstores that have carried it. Just go ask for it anywhere. And now, Jim Barrier,
okay.
We are down to our last segment. The good news is you get to come back next week. The bad news is how many tangents will we get on next week as well?
Oh, but it's unlimited. Okay, you keep using the word human. You keep using that word. I do not think that word means what you think it means. The word human comes from one of a couple of sources. Originally, I was taught that it came from the word humus, meaning soil, because man was taken from the dust of the earth. Or it could be from Homo sapien. But either way, you connect the dots. When we talk about human, we're talking about something that is uniquely of this earth.
Yes, I guess if we wanted to be more scientific or be like science fiction on Star Trek, when they would find it, they would say humanoid.
Humanoid. Which is still very, very self-centered.
And of course, the Bible says man. God made man. Yeah. God made women.
That's an interesting word.
Like that.
Yeah. Now listen to this. It says, in Hebrews chapter 1 and also Hebrews chapter 11, that God made the worlds, plural. He made the worlds, plural. So we're back to that thing you're saying. Was he already under inspiration, the writer of the book of Hebrews? We all have our opinions about who that was. But was the Holy Spirit inspiring him to kind of look forward to realize that there would be a new world that man would eventually find that he already knew about? That there would be other worlds that we could possibly colonize, or there might be life. And I just find that fascinating that it says plural. He made the worlds.
Yeah, and it's possible that they were referring to
who knows?
Earth and heaven, like when they say God made the heavens and the earth. It's interesting, in Greek, the word for world is cosmos. We think when we get
cosmos.
Greek getting into our English language, we think about in the cosmos is the word for world. And the word for heaven, interestingly enough, or heaven meaning the place where God and the angels dwell, or heavens, like the firmament, same word, and the word is Uranus. Isn't that interesting?
Well, I think I've met some people from there, but but this one in Hebrews is not cosmos. That's the interesting thing. It's talking more about terra firma, talking about earth.
Type
of thing. Yeah, because cosmos most of the time has to do with the world system, the
Yeah, it's true. A lot of times, depending on the context, a word has a different meaning, because there was the worldly philosophy that was hostile to God. Yeah. But there was also the just generic, we're all living in the world. Yeah. They used it both ways.
Yeah, friendship with the world is enmity with God, those kind of things. So that's cosmos world. At any rate, it says plural, and that's fascinating, however you want to look at that. It's also curious, and I'm just looking at stuff, because as we said at the start of this conversation, the Bible is pretty silent about extraterrestrial life. In 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul is giving his discourse about resurrection, actually, which is a process of moving from this existence into a different experience.
Yes.
Whatever's going to happen after I'm resurrected is not going to be what I'm trapped in right now. Pretty sure of that.
No, and it'll be, but what's interesting is Adam and Eve, the original human beings, were made immortal. It's because they turned from God that they became mortal, that they became sinful.
Yeah.
We are born as their descendants. Jesus, although he's God incarnate by identity, actually did become a real human being, and he's called the second Adam.
The second Adam.
The son of man. The firstborn of a new creation. It's a recreation of the human race. And when people ask what heaven's going to be like, I don't believe it's a place where we're going to sit around on clouds and strum harps. Neither are we. We are not going to become angels. That's Hollywood. There are beings there called angels.
Right.
We will not be angels. We will continue to be human beings. And I think we will, yes, we'll be immortal. Yes, that'll be glorious. But we'll be what Adam and Eve were before they fell. That's what I believe.
I kind of agree with you on that. I think the same thing. And I think we have no idea of the powers and abilities that Adam had before the fall.
And Jim, I know you like fruit salad, but if they set up another fruit tree when we get to heaven, just leave it alone, will you?
Okay. In this chapter 15 of Corinthians, Paul says the following: all flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. The glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. And so Paul gets off talking about some of these lofty things. And I think, if anything, it's just to remind us that we don't have the big picture.
Yes, and people like Paul and people like Job or like the author of the book of Job, they would explore things that sometimes Christians today don't give themselves the freedom to explore. And yet the very collection assembled in a volume called the Bible, the very book that we hold our creed in, is far more open and reflective and contemplative of these things than the average Christian today.
And that's one of the things I love about doing shows like this, is we're not afraid to talk about things that we don't have all the answers to. But suffice to say, because I just, I sense a disturbance in the force.
In that music, we just can't figure out if we're Bible, science fiction, back and forth.
I think that it's quite feasible that there is another existence, that there are other life forms that are very, very much unlike us. And angels are the perfect example of that. I mean, they can show up and look human, but they're not.
Yeah, exactly. There have been times where angels have come and taken on human appearance, and people, getting back to Hebrews, there's another, it says in Hebrew, do not be afraid to entertain strangers.
Yeah.
Meaning like a wayfaring stranger that might come to your door and need food.
Yeah.
And in many cases, some people have entertained angels.
Entertained angels.
Jim, when you're out feeding the poor, you may have fed some angels there in San Antonio.
You know what?
Now, why an angel would want to go to San Antonio, I'm sure, I don't know. But we need to open our mind, and we should be open to it.
Short-term mission trip.
They obviously weren't hanging around the Alamo, because that didn't work out too well.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is God's country. Just ask anybody. you notice how I go right into the Texas drawl when we get into that stuff?
Yeah. Folks, Jim was originally a San Diegan, but you see how Texas is just slowly getting the drawl down?
It's taken its toll on me. I think I'm very open to the thing. And forgive me for doing this Carl Sagan by way of Jodie Foster. But the universe is awful big. And if there's nothing else out there, it seems like a great waste of space. That was a great line.
It does make some sense. It is an awfully big, just our galaxy's big enough, and we have many, many, many galaxies. So I think we should have some humility, and if we can believe that we're smaller than God, we can believe that we're smaller than the universe he created. There may just be a few things God hasn't shown us yet. Okay.
And we know this as we close. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess.
That is correct.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
That is correct. Okay, well, it was aliens this week. What are we doing, dinosaurs next week?
Next week, dinosaurs.
He'll make it a double feature. We'll see you next week.
Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.